Morning, everyone. Hope you're doing well today. Thanks for being here. Welcome to Antioch. Welcome to those of you who call Antioch home, those of you who are visiting with us today, and a special hello to those of you who are joining us online. Thanks for joining us today. I want to go ahead as we start and dismiss our kids to kids class. So your teachers are waiting for you. They're excited. So if you want to go ahead and head to your classes so you can get into the word in your classes, amen. So as we get started today, so we're still going through our series in Mark, walking through the Gospel of Mark, and I was reading an interesting article the other day about the concept of déjà vu. Déjà vu. Déjà vu is French for already seen. And it's this feeling we've probably all had. It's this feeling you get when you're experiencing something, but you feel like you've experienced it before. Or you feel like you've been here before, you've been there before, and you can't really explain it. It's just this feeling of, haven't I been here before? Haven't I done this before? And so the article that I was reading talked about how doctors and scientists who study déjà vu, they know what déjà vu is, and we know when we're experiencing it, but we still cannot explain how exactly it happens. How does our brain somehow get into this mode where it makes us feel like we've been here before, or what we're currently experiencing, we've somehow done this before? And so that part of déjà vu remains a mystery to us. The truth is, we may never fully understand how our brains do this, how our brains get into this mode of déjà vu. In our passage today, no one would have been surprised if the disciples had a déjà vu moment. And the reason is because what they're going to experience today, they actually have experienced in the past. And so let me kind of set the stage for where we are today. Today we start Mark chapter 8. But if you were with us a few weeks ago, we looked at Mark chapter 6, where Jesus fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And we discussed how that moment, that moment really was a pivotal moment in the lives of the disciples, because they didn't know how all of these people were going to be fed. But they witnessed Jesus perform a miracle. And if you recall, he didn't just let them sit back while he performed the miracle. He had them participate, and he gathered them up, and he had them participate in passing out the bread and the fish. And since that time in Mark chapter 6, a lot has actually happened in the lives of the disciples. They've seen Jesus calm the storm on sea. They've witnessed him drive demons out of children. And as we saw last week, they witnessed him go into the Gentile region and heal a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And if you remember, the more Jesus told them to keep quiet what he just did, the more they actually did the opposite, the more they told others. So word keeps spreading about Jesus, and once again, the disciples find themselves in the same situation as they were in chapter 6. A large crowd has formed. The people are hungry. And once again, they have no idea how all of these people are going to be fed. So they've been here before. They've seen this exact problem before. And what we're going to see today, church, is because they've been here before and they saw Jesus work a miracle then, they should use what Jesus did then as encouragement that he can work another miracle today. But we're going to see how they respond. And my hope is that as we go through this, you and I, we can find encouragement to take what God has done in our lives in the past and use that to strengthen our faith today. So with that, by way of an introduction, if you would stand as you're able as we read from Mark chapter 8, we're going to look at verses 1 through 10 today. Jesus feeds the 4,000. During those days, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way, because some of them have come a long distance." His disciples answered, "But where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them?" "How many loaves do you have?" Jesus asked. "Seven," they replied. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. When he had taken the 7 loaves he gave and given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people, and they did so. They had a few small fish as well. He gave thanks for them also and told the disciples to distribute them. The people ate and were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. About 4,000 were present that day. After he had sent them away, he got into the boat with his disciples and went into the region of the Dalmatia. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. And so as our passage picks up today, Jesus is still in the region, this Gentile region. And just like back in chapter 6, a crowd is beginning to form. But there's one key difference this time. And it has to do with the makeup of the people in the crowd. Back in chapter 6, it was mostly a Jewish crowd that was there with the feeding of the 5,000. And now today, it's a Gentile crowd. It's mostly a Gentile crowd. So that's the main difference. So you have this large group of people, and as Jesus looks out at the crowd, his heart is really going out for these people. It says he calls his disciples over and tells them, "I have compassion for these people." And that there's 3 reasons why Jesus has compassion for these people. Number one, because they have nothing to eat. Now, this doesn't mean, as we read this, this doesn't mean that no one in the crowd hasn't eaten anything for the past 3 days. What that more accurately means is that any food that any of them brought with them has run out by now. So it's likely that many of them brought what could be described as a sack lunch with them. And since it's been several days, what they did bring with them, they've either eaten themselves or they've given to someone else to eat. So no one has any more food left. So they're hungry. So that's one of the reasons why Jesus' heart is going out to them. So he has compassion for them for that. Number two, he has compassion for them because they've been with him for 3 days. This is a key difference between the first feeding in chapter 6 and this feeding in chapter 8. In the first feeding, in that feeding, the crowd was present just for that day. They formed in just 1 day. And he fed them on that day and they made them disperse on that day. But in this feeding for today, they've been here for 3 days. So we begin to see the level of desperation the people have. They're willing to stay with Jesus and to stay where Jesus is for 3 days. So they've been with him for 3 days and they've run out of food. And the third reason his heart is going out to this is to the people. Notice what Jesus says: "If I send them home hungry, they will collapse along the way, because some of them have come from a long distance." So for many of them, this decision, this trip, coming to see Jesus wasn't just a trip across the street. It was a journey that would take miles and miles. And we have to remember the way people traveled during Jesus' time wasn't the same way people travel today. They didn't have cars or buses or airplanes that they could hop on and get somewhere. It's not like they could like call an Uber and get to Jesus. Traveling long distances involved lots of walking or riding an animal if you were lucky, but you would still have to stop and take lots of breaks along the way. So imagine trying to make this journey back home when you're physically hungry. Jesus says to disciples, guys, I cannot send these people back home hungry because they are so hungry that they might collapse along the way. That's how hungry these people are. And remember, we talked about this at the beginning. The disciples have seen this before. Even though it's a different crowd this time, they've witnessed Jesus miraculously feed thousands of people. This is not something new to them. They know what Jesus can do. But despite their firsthand knowledge of the power of Jesus, notice the question they ask him. But where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them? Now, here's what's interesting. Pay attention to their question, because this is the exact phrase they used back in chapter 6 to describe where they were when they say this. When they say in chapter 6, they said, Jesus, this is a remote place. Send the people away. Jesus worked in that remote place. And now today, they ask, where can anyone get food in this remote place? Now, the answer to their question is standing right in front of them. It's Jesus. And yet, despite what they've seen Jesus do in the past, in a previous remote place, they still question. Look how Jesus responds. Verses 5 and 7. How many loaves do you have? Notice Jesus doesn't ask, how many loaves do you think you need, but how many do you have? And we talked about this last time. Remember when Jesus told them to go and see? Church, it's not about what we think we need. It's about trusting Jesus with what we have. It's not about what we think we need. It's about trusting Jesus with what we have. Seven, they replied. Seven. And then we get this beautiful illustration of what it means to trust the hand of Jesus. They have seven loaves. Jesus tells the people to sit down. The same thing he told the people back in chapter 6 to do, where he said, have the people sit down. He tells them, sit down. That phrase, sit down, translates into recline. And it carries a sense of preparing to be served or preparing to be taken care of. So the image, the beautiful image that we get here is of this large group of people who are all standing up. They were all standing up. Now they're all starting to sit down. Why? Because the exact same thing Jesus did in chapter 6, he's about to do now. He's about to take care of everyone, and he's about to take care of everyone's needs. The only thing they need to do is sit down. Don't miss the beautiful image of this. There's this level of dependence and trust and expectancy here that this shows us. Notice, nobody is running around trying to figure out what they're going to eat or how they're going to get any food or how they're going to feed everyone. They do have a problem, but Jesus has spoken. And what does he tell them to do? Sit down. I love that, because when I think about this, how many times in our lives, myself included, how many times do we try to take matters into our own hands and we're stressing ourselves out trying to solve our own problems, and we say we trust Jesus, And yet sometimes our minds are always racing and we're filled with worry and anxiety trying to figure out, how am I going to solve this problem? And this isn't to say that we aren't proactive about what we're going through, that we just sit back and do nothing. But what it does mean is that we rest in the goodness and power and providence of Jesus. So today, maybe the best thing you and I can do for your problem is to do exactly like Jesus told them to do, and it's to simply sit down. To rest our minds, knowing, I have no idea how this is going to play out, but Jesus has spoken. And so in my mind, I'm going to sit down and trust that He will take care of me. And again, the disciples, they don't get to just sit back and watch Jesus work. He gets them involved, and He has them help pass out the bread, just like last time. They've been here before. They've done this before. And that's the core message Jesus is trying to get across. If He's done it before, He can do it again. If He's made a way before, He can make a way again. That's what He's trying to get His disciples to understand in their spirit. It's about trusting Him to do again what they've seen Him do before. So they pass out the bread. And then interesting side note here, Jesus actually does one thing differently that He didn't do before. So in the first feeding in chapter 6, He gives thanks. Then He had them pass out the bread and the fish together. In the second feeding, and what's in today, He has them pass out the bread first. Then it tells us that they had a few small fish that He took and gave thanks for. So we don't know why Jesus kind of broke it up and split it up like that. But in both instances, we do see Jesus giving thanks to His heavenly Father. Remember, we have to live a life of thankfulness. Thankfulness. So once again, the disciples participate in this miracle of somehow Jesus taking what looks to be a hopeless situation and doing the impossible, doing what only He can do. Not only did everyone there eat, but it tells us that everyone was satisfied. They're satisfied, meaning that they were no longer hungry, that each had enough to satisfy their hunger. That same word Mark used in chapter 6 is the same word He uses today. They were satisfied. And Mark puts that word in there for a reason, because he's showing us that no matter who you are, Jew, Gentile, or whatever your nationality or your race or your background or the family you come from, anybody who comes to Jesus can be satisfied in Him. And not just a physical satisfaction, but a spiritual satisfaction. Because remember, we have to remember, the world constantly offers us things that it says can satisfy us. If you had more money, or if you had a certain body image, or if you had a certain level of income, or if you drove a certain type of car, or if you lived in a certain type of neighborhood, or whatever it is, the world is always trying to get us to find things in the world to be satisfied with. But what do we know? What do we know? At the end of the day, the things of this world can never satisfy us. They only leave us more hungry. But Jesus satisfies our deepest longings. This is why in John 6:35 it says, I am the bread of life. This is Jesus talking about Himself. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to Me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in Me will never be thirsty. He's not talking about physical hunger or physical thirst, but spiritual. When you come to Jesus, everything you need is found in Him. Your joy, your peace, everything you need is found in Jesus. This is why these two miraculous feedings are so important for us, because it symbolizes what Jesus does for us. In that, once, remember, we were all hungry And we were lost and we were looking for something or for someone to satisfy our deepest longings. And we were turning to different things in the world, different relationships or money or our job. We were turning to all these things to try to satisfy us. And then when we made the decision to come to Jesus, and we found that he satisfies us like nothing else we ever experienced, then we knew that that was the best decision that we ever made. And don't overlook the fact that in both instances, chapter 6 and today, there are leftovers. There's leftovers showing that Jesus is abundant. They go from thinking there's no way all of these people can be fed to realizing that they had more than enough all along. So Jesus shows us that he can do more than we could ever imagine if we just trust him. Amen? If we trust him. The disciples have now seen Jesus feed 9,000 people. 5,000 in chapter 6 and 4,000 today. And I think that's the point of them seeing this miracle again. That's what Jesus wants them and us to understand. With 4,000 hungry souls in front of them, they didn't have to worry. Their minds were supposed to jog back to the last time they faced this situation and remember that Jesus took care of everything. And he'll take care of everything today. And that speaks to us today. That applies to us today in our lives. When you face an issue or a challenge, you don't have to give up. You don't have to lose faith. You don't have to lose hope. You can look back at what Jesus has done for you in the past and take courage, knowing that he will take care of you again. He's faithful, and he won't let you fall. So today, church, whatever you're facing, you don't have to let it consume you. You can think about how God has gotten you through in the past and remember he can get you through whatever you face today. Even if it's a new situation you've never faced before, God is still faithful. I was talking with a friend earlier this week and he's facing a challenge in his life that he's never faced before. And he's barely hanging on. But he's also drawing strength on how God has worked, and he's seen God work in his life in the past. And he knows that the same God who got him through before is the same God who can get him through this time. And the same thing is true in your life today. Maybe you find yourself facing a new situation or a new challenge, and you've never faced this before. Maybe it's a new health diagnosis or a new family situation or a new job situation, or maybe life has just thrown something that you never saw coming. It may catch you by surprise, but nothing catches Jesus by surprise. And you've seen him work in the past, so you can trust that he can work today. So I think there's two big things that really stand out to us as we read this passage. Number one, listen, God never wastes our experiences. God never wastes our experiences. God doesn't send us through hard times and difficult seasons for nothing. He does it in order to build up our faith and our trust and our reliance on him so that we can learn more about his goodness and his sovereignty. So the things that you're facing today, you're not facing just for no reason. God isn't just sending you through a hard time just to be mean. He's not sending you through a hard time for no reason. God is building you up in him so that the next time you face something, you can look back at what you're going through today and say, I remember when God got me through that time. And now I know he can get me through this time. So I'm going to stand strong in him. knowing that he's faithful and he's just and he's true. So God never wastes our experiences. And because he never wastes our experiences, number two, God wants us to recall our experiences. The disciples, think about this, the disciples had no idea that when they saw Jesus feed 5,000 people, that later on they would face the exact same situation. And what they were supposed to do was recall when they saw him feed 5,000. And instead of asking, who can do this? They should say, we know who can do this. And it's Jesus. Jesus was standing with them then. He's standing with them now. Church, Jesus was standing with you then. He's standing with you now. So don't lose hope. Don't lose faith. Jesus is not going to abandon you. You've seen stuff in the past and you've gotten through it. You're seeing stuff now and you're getting through it. And when you face something later on, next week, next month, 10 years from now, you can look back and say, I know Jesus is faithful. And we recall our experiences. We recall how faithful God has been. Because if he did it then, he can do it now. Amen? So here's what I want to do today. I just want us, I want to invite Josh up to just play for us. I want us just to take 2 minutes, just a couple of minutes, and I want you to think back to a time in your life that Jesus has gotten you through. It could be something last week, last month, last year, 5, 10 years ago. Just think back. Think back to a time that Jesus got you through something. And two things. I want us to, A, thank him for being faithful during that time. And then, B, use that as encouragement for your soul, for whatever you face today, and say, you did it then, you can do it now. Amen? Amen. One thing that's been kind of going on over in my spirit this week as I've been preparing for this, and it's this one sentence. If he's done it before, he'll do it again. He's done it before. He'll do it again. No matter what you came in here facing today, or no matter what you encounter when you leave today, you've seen Jesus be faithful to you before, and you know that he'll be faithful again. So Jesus, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your steadfast love. As we look today, the disciples face the exact same situation, and they still question. Even with you standing right there, Jesus, we want to recall our experiences of your faithfulness so that when we face whatever it is, we know, we're confident that nothing is too hard for you. And yes, we may face situations in life. We will face situations in life that are outside of our control and that we can't do. That's what the disciples faced twice. They didn't know how to feed 5,000 people. They didn't know how to feed 4,000 people. But with you, all things are possible, Jesus. So you had them go through that twice to show them your steadfast love and your steadfast faithfulness. Help that to land in our hearts today. Whatever we're facing today, you are good, and nothing slips out of your hands. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.